Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Deadly Reads Radio, Journey into the Night. My name is Linda L. Barton, and I'm here with my co-host and partner in crime, Lisa Vandeveer. Hey, Lisa, you want to say hi to everybody this evening?
Hello, everybody. We're glad to have you with us this evening, and we've got a great show lined up. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I would highly recommend going and getting your favorite adult beverage of choice, sitting back and getting comfortable, because it's going to get hot on Deadly Reads Radio tonight. So first of all, Lisa, you've been a busy gal. You've got all the stuff finished for homeschooling, had your first day of school, and now getting ready for a horse show. Girl, I tell you, I'm getting tired just listening to you.
I know, it's never ending, but it's fun. We started homeschool this week, and we're preparing for a trip to Nashville, Tennessee, where my daughter will be doing horse shows. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll be going to Illinois. So, yeah, it's never ending, but it's fun. It is fun.
Oh, well, it keeps you out of trouble or keeps you in trouble. I don't know. Anyway.
Either way.
It sounds like a lot of fun. But anyway, yeah. That's great. Yeah, that picture you posted of your daughter was adorable in her for her first day of school. So she's turning into quite,
oh, well, thank
quite you. She's turning into quite the little mini Lisa. She looks just like her mommy, folks, I tell you.
She certainly does. Yep.
Okay. Well, like I said at the start of the show, tonight things are going to get hot on Deadly Reads Radio because we have adult fiction author Tabea Dupree. Now, Tabea is a best-selling author of adult fiction. She grew up on the eastern seaboard of the United States. With her love of books and anything with words was a treasured gift from her parents. As a young person, Tabea read anything she could get her hands on, from cereal boxes to Encyclopedia Britannica to the National Geographic to business section of the local newspaper, yet some of her favorite reads came from writers such as Lula Lamour, Tolstoy, Eddings, Hugo, Wright, Dickens, and Hemingway. In 1999, Tabea started writing erotic fantasy stories for online story groups. She self-published her first erotic story in 2011 and has since published three more ebooks titled Groupie, The Temp, and She Loved Me Once. Jessica's Obsession, book one of the Anthony Stone series, is Tabea's first attempt to step outside of her comfort zone. This psychological suspense thriller with a touch of erotica can be found on Amazon and other ebook stores. There's also a print copy available. So, now Tabea has worked with cover model John Quinlan on the Stone series. His physique and tattoos were part of her muse team. Oh, my goodness, I can't pronounce this one. Flagnitos is book two of the Anthony Stone series and is also available on Amazon. Now, John Quinlan, we've had him on here a few times. He's a very nice man. He's a cover model. He's won awards for bodybuilding, and now he's currently starring in a movie. Yeah, John's a very nice person. So, ladies, if you want to see a hunky guy in a cover, grab Tabea's books because John's on there and, whew, it'll get you warm. So, anyway, now that I've got myself all excited thinking about it, let's bring on, let's bring her on and say hi. Hey, girl, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I love the intro and talking about John and his sexy body.
Oh yeah, no, he's definitely hot.
Oh, he sent me a picture the other day. He said, you can use this if you want to promote past guests, and I looked at that picture and I was like, holy smokes.
I know.
You need a fire extinguisher to look at that one. Anyway.
Yeah.
I could see where he would be amused for your writing, gal. I tell you what, he gets a girl thinking.
Yeah.
In fact, it was John's belly button that took off in my creativity.
Oh, you gotta explain the belly button. You gotta explain the belly button.
Yeah.
So there's more to the belly button than just the belly button. So you gotta explain it for the ladies out there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is more than a belly button. what actually happened was John was having some issues online with someone who was so into him that they decided to create a fake account on Facebook. And and they had his pictures and all these different things. But someone else, another author, had already introduced him as one of the new hot guys, you know, models. And I instantly fell in love with the belly button. Okay. It's not just any kind of belly button either.
No.
So okay, let's go back to the story first, okay. So
I can just see it now.
I decided, you know, the best thing, the best thing to do was is to get to know John. And I had an opportunity to get to know him, and he's nothing like this guy that you see. He has this badass exterior. And once you get to know him, he's humbled, he's a great dad, you know, he's a great human being. But what he did was he ended up getting the account shut down. But as you ladies know, he has this physique because he was into modeling underwear. He was once upon a time a wrestler. He was doing all these different things, and he had just got really into modeling, book cover modeling. And so what happened was I took that and I ran with it. I could get the definition for what kind of tattoo it is. But all I can say is if you like tats, it's an intricate part of his body. You know what I mean? He has tats on his arms. He has a new tattoo, and they all look great, you know, because he was a bodybuilder. He was a physique bodybuilder. And so I used that story from John and the crazy stalker person, and I turned it into a female. And that's how it became Jessica's Obsession.
Okay.
And, so I took that and I used the fact that he was into tattoos, and also used the story John told me that when he was very young, he got a tattoo, and it wasn't even legally, he wasn't legal yet. So I used that in my book as well. And I even had John is also in the book himself, and he comes into the tattoo parlor, and he meets the guy, Anthony, who is actually John, my muse. And it was fun writing it simply because of the fact that I knew John. And I was able to take part of his true story and put a creative twist to it.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
So that went from book one to book two, which is Fulgentio's. I know it's very difficult to say. Sort of Italian, and actually something I created myself. Which I like doing. I like to create things that no one else has. Like my name. My name is My name is Tavia. And
Tavia.
The name came from a dream that I had. And that was in 1999. And I created a profile for her online, and that's the person I was online, and it was my way of keeping anyone who tried to pry into my personal life. And so she just had her own story, just like Crazy Jessica has her story. Tavia had hers, and I went offline for a few years, and then I decided to come back, and when I was looking for a pseudo, Tavia just felt right. So that's how all of that came along. So
okay, sounds interesting.
Okay.
Yeah,
it is. It is.
And there's a lot of people that use, you know, the different names. So it's not anything new, or many people have done it. So I think that's interesting.
I want to say a lot of people are now using pseudos compared to when people started writing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Simply because, especially self-pub indies, they use their name because it's their story, it's their creation, it's their baby. But then it all depends on the genre, and they had to figure out what they were going to do because they had all this creative juices flowing, and what were they going to do with it? So they decided to create a pseudo. And once, you know, and then as the years started going, that's when you realized that a lot of people weren't who they said they were. And some people were actually offended that they were not, which they, I guess you could say, considered they weren't representing themselves. And that's not true. Because
right.
of the
no,
fact,
that's
just
not
because
true.
My name, exactly. Just because I
yeah.
write under a pseudo, that doesn't mean that I'm not Tavia. So
right.
that had to, right. And a lot of authors I found had a difficult time with that simply because they felt bad that they had to, and some of them quit because
really?
Of the fact that they couldn't use their, yeah. Once you join a lot of communities in the social media, you learn a lot of things about different authors. And it's some authors who have had stories for more than 12 years or more, and they will not post them simply because they will not use a pseudo because it's not their name. And it's just like when you create a story. It's your story. You created that story. So if you create a profile and you're that person, you're giving yourself. I don't do anything fake. Anything I put on my Facebook timeline, if I'm frustrated, if I'm having jokes, I'm being silly, that's me. You know,
right.
I'm an all-around type of funny, have-a-good-time person, and I love to be silly. But I'm also anal when it comes to specific things, too. But that shows on my timeline. That actually shows on my timeline simply because I'm myself. Just because my name is Talia and I wasn't given that at my baptism, you know what I mean, or my christening or whatever it was, that doesn't mean that I'm not Talia.
But it's no,
so,
it's no different than people that go into acting. How many Hollywood people, we don't know their real name. You know, how many people in the music industry.
In the Actors Guild.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, people in the music, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're trying to trick your fans. You know, I write adult fiction also, and I write it under a pen name because that's a whole different persona. You know, when you're writing, you actually, it's a whole different mindset. You know, you have to get in that place. So when I'm writing my adult book,
absolutely,
you're that person at that time. You know, so when I'm writing my books, my adult fiction, I'm Darina. You know, but when I'm writing my thrillers, I'm Linda, which is me. That's, you know, me every day. But, you know, Darina is a whole different person. You know, that's a side of me that, you know, isn't out there for the world to see all the time. I'm not saying it's not part of me. But, you know, you just, it's just like changing hats. It's like an actor, you know. An actor goes in.
It's like
they're not a real serial killer when they're playing one. You know, it's a role. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like that when we write our books.
That
you
makes
know,
sense.
You know,
another thing is many of us grow up with nicknames. Our parents give us nicknames. Our cousins, you know, a boyfriend, a husband, or whatever. And we go by that name. That doesn't mean that the name that I was given at my Christian is any different from that person that I'm being called. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of times we take things too seriously that we make more of something that's unnecessary.
That's
I think it's a beautiful name. And it's a perfect name for a writer of adult fiction. So, I mean, hey, I mean, it's great.
Yeah, I think it's just an extension of your person, you know.
Absolutely. And it is. And I had a quandary. I was deciding if I was going to use this particular name or another one. And my decision was based on when I first came online, it was fun being somebody else. You know, because one of the things was I could come online, and once I shut that off, I had to go back into my life. And I decided what fun it would be to write. And I used to write poetry under a totally different pseudo. And doing those things, people get to know that person, but the personality, the characteristics, that's me. You know, I am that person. I just happen to have a different name, and my associations are different with each name
let's
that
get
I
on,
use.
Let's get on to your book
right.
Because we've covered all this now.
Yeah,
we only have an hour, and I don't want to run out of time. Lisa and I got a whole bunch
of
fun questions.
Well, I mean, I understand what she's saying though, because you know there are reasons that authors choose to do that too. Some reasons, and it's really the author's.
It's their choice. It's their decision.
Yeah, it is.
So I
respect that.
I do too, completely. Now, I want to know something. Got you to decide to write erotic fiction? That's such an intricate, special genre.
It really is. And one of the things that I like creating stories. I'm a storyteller. And I grew up just like many other females reading Harlequin and Silhouette and all the cutesy things that were making you feel as though you can be a part of that life, that romantic side. But it was something missing. The reality of when you go in the bedroom and the door shuts, what happens? What's going on? What's going on in there? And being the curious type of person that I am, I went searching to find out if people actually wrote what was going on. And at the time, when I was growing up, there wasn't internet. And so you couldn't go in the library, you know, but you had to dig for these stories. And I particularly came across one story, and this particular female, she was going across country having great sex. And I thought, wow, okay, that's a story. That's great.
Yeah.
And then I believe, I can't think of her name at the moment, but the story, another story was called Wifey. And I think a lot of people have read the story. I don't know if it was Collins or Bloom. It was somebody who wrote it. And she gave details of what the guy's shaft looked like and the size and all these different things, and the whole entire time I'm thinking, that's all I wanted to know. You know, and this is me at 18, 19 years old. So when I got a little bit older, I said, hey, I can do that. And that's Tavia was born in 1999.
That's good. Well, I mean, it is part of life, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, with showing the more passionate side of life, you know, nothing wrong at all, you know, as long as, you know, you're not hurting anybody type stuff, you know, and you know what I mean, the type of things that can be out there, you know, I mean.
You know, it's like when I was growing up, it was two consenting adults. Today, it's two consenting people, you would hope that they were older than 18, but that's not what's happening. The reality is that's not what's happening. But when I was growing up, it was two consenting adults, and that's the kind of story I really wanted to write. I wanted to write about two consenting adults having some great sex. And
exactly.
My first story, I thought it was awesome. I found out it wasn't all that great. So I pulled it and I made some corrections, but I never put it back online. But found out a couple years later, after I actually did publish it, all the pirated sites have it, and it has thousands of downloads.
Oh my goodness!
There you go.
And it's very interesting. I'm going, oh, if I had just put it in 99 cents, I'd have been a millionaire. So, and it was totally grammar. I mean, it just had all kinds of issues, but it's loved now.
That's fair, though. That's what you want.
You
want
know,
it's loved.
But it was basically, you know, erotica is more than wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know what I mean?
Right,
you know, until you understand what erotica really means to different people, because erotica means different things to different people. And you have something on Wikipedia, you have something in a dictionary, you have, and that's somebody else writing that, telling you what erotica mm-hmm. is. In your mm-hmm. bedroom, whatever happens in your bedroom, it depends on you, and it depends on mm-hmm. your partner. So, right.
I created.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Well, the thing of it is erotica now is opened up to where there's a lot of women that read it. And they enjoy mm-hmm. the women authors because there's more plot. Like you said, it's not just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And so it's right. a lot larger audience than people realize. It truly is.
I think a lot of men read it, too, now.
Reading it openly, Lisa, like you're saying. Men, I think mm-hmm. they were the ones that had the magazines, you know, and
right.
The dirty magazines and reading the porn stories or whatever, and they had the porn videos. But then women mm-hmm. decided, and it wasn't just women who were writing, it was men mm-hmm. who were writing
yeah.
these exquisite
mm-hmm.
stories,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
would that be called porn writing? Is that a difference between erotica? I totally disagree.
Because I had somebody say that erotica is nothing but porn written down, and
no.
I was offended.
Yep.
What I'm saying is, there is
erotic writing, and then there's porn writing, correct?
Exactly. There's erotic,
mm-hmm.
and
uh-huh.
there's porn. And to me,
right.
porn is
yeah.
wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Right.
And
exactly.
let's make a bunch of oohs, ahs, and this feels good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Erotica mm-hmm. is based on, it is a lot, there's some great sex, there's hardcore sex, there's soft sex,
it's hard.
There's all kinds of sex. But
right.
at the end of the day, did you move the person that you're trying to get to? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like
that story.
My first story, it sucked. I own that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
but as I grew as a writer, thanks to Kathy Rowe, as I grew as a writer, I became more interested in what a reader would think of my work compared
mm-hmm.
to what I thought somebody wanted to see or hear. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of opening up the imagination, because when you read a book, when you read Harlequin or whatever books you read as a teenager, they open up the mind. That romance, you know,
mm-hmm.
you wanted to be
mm-hmm.
with the Earl or the Duke or all these different people, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I knew that's the kind of writer I wanted to be. I wanted to be somebody
right.
that when you read my story, you went, I wanted to be in their bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
If I couldn't be on the bed, I couldn't be on the floor, the table, wherever, I at least wanted to be a fly on the wall.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
you know, if you can make the person feel they're part of the story. I remember when
mm-hmm.
I wrote my first one, you know, I'd never written anything like that before. I'd written a few thrillers, but I'd never written anything erotica, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty hardcore. I mean, you know, it's not just, you know, tender, loving kisses type stuff. And I remember having a young man read it that I know. He was 21 at the time. And I already had some women read it, but I wanted some feedback from a young man, you know, to see if it,
mm-hmm.
it kind of got his motor running, you know. And as he's reading it, I'm sitting there looking at him from across the room, and he's like, his jaw's dropping, his eyes are getting big, he's squirming in the chair,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh,
that's awesome.
Everything. And when he got done, I said, well, Linda, he goes, this was better than any porn movie I've ever watched. And I'm like, cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That means you nailed it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I can pass a, you know, a young man like that, and he enjoyed the story, he says it had such a good story. The characters pulled me in, you know. He goes, oh, you know. And I thought, that's what I wanted, you know. And that's what you want, you know. I said, okay, then I'm doing it right,
yeah.
you know. Because like I said, I never
mm-hmm.
read anything like that before. So I know what you mean when you're explaining that there's a big difference between
mm-hmm.
just porn,
yeah,
you know, which is
right.
just the raw act.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
and,
yeah.
And boom, you hit it right there. The raw
mm-hmm.
act. It's a total
mm-hmm.
difference. And, of course, in erotica, there are lots of scenes where there's the raw act. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's
mm-hmm.
also those scenes that are the way he touches her lips or the way he touches her bottom or her legs, her
mm-hmm.
thighs, and the way
right.
he moves.
Seduction,
you know what I mean?
The actual
or
seduction,
the way,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
The sensuality, the seduction, the reasoning
mm-hmm.
behind it. In every story that I've ever written, I had to have a reason to have sex, you know, in
mm-hmm.
my story.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
a reason. And I know a lot of people write, well, they just did it just because. Well, to
right.
me, there's still a reason. You know, there's still reasoning behind, you know, because he's
mm-hmm.
attractive, because she's attractive, because he's attracted
mm-hmm.
to him or she's attracted to her, whatever's going
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah.
I like to think that I think it's one of the reasons I created my Facebook page. It's called School of Erotic Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that when I create something, you're there. And you're in that room, or
mm-hmm.
you're on that table, or you're on the floor
mm-hmm.
on all fours, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how I write. I write as if I'm someone else writing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's important. It's important. You need to hone the fine art of seduction in a way that
mm-hmm.
the reader is longing, you know, that they're getting involved
mm-hmm.
and they're feeling the same sensual tension and, you know, sensual desires and everything that the characters
mm-hmm.
are, because that's what you're
mm-hmm.
trying to invoke in them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole purpose of erotica, you know, is to wake
right.
up
mm-hmm.
that in the person. So, yeah,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I can see, and that's and you, by doing that, that's what you're doing for your readers. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
right. seducing them. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're seducing them.
Mm-hmm. You are.
So,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's
well,
good.
That's fun part. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
But
now you have.
Like...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
No,
well,
so now
that,
you've decided to step
like
off into. Yeah. Now, but now you've decided to step off into psychological suspense thrillers. What a change.
I decided to do that because that's my background. That's on a personal level that I went to school for, and it's something I know. I know a lot about the psyche, and I decided
mm-hmm.
that one of the things that I fear, and Lisa knows this, I
mm-hmm.
don't do zombies. I don't do horror.
Right.
I don't do
right.
those things, but...
Mm-hmm.
I can discuss a serial killer, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which is like, yeah. what? Isn't that kind of contradictive, you know, that you don't do a
yeah.
horror, but you can do a serial killer?
Yeah.
Because I know that psyche of a serial killer and things like that.
There is a difference. Yeah, there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get you a just teeny tiny bit of addicted to Walking Dead, did I not?
You really did. You really did. And the
yeah.
only reason, because being a storyteller, if it's a good
right.
story, I'm going to stick around. But then
right.
after
mm-hmm.
a while, too many zombies became redundant, so
right.
I was like, okay, I'm done with that
yeah.
for now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you
I might eventually go back.
Right. So now, what are you writing in the psychological suspense thriller? What type of characters are you doing with your book?
Actually, Jessica was my first. Somebody knows a Jessica. She's the one that
mm-hmm.
sits in the back of the class and looks at the boy and stares at him for 3 years. She
mm-hmm.
goes to all
okay.
the football games. You know, she could be a bestie, and she could be you. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I got into her psychological well-being. And
ah.
I'm actually, I did a thing where I'm actually going to write a spinoff of Jessica, and I'm going to take it way back to how she became who she became.
Okay.
So that's a whole different series. After I finish
mm-hmm.
Anthony Stone series, it's going to be a Jessica series, because when I was talking to a lot of the fans, they was like, what happened? I want to know more about Jessica. You know, they like, it's a lot of people who like crazy people. So,
yeah, right.
yeah, so she was kind of my first, and I decided when I was writing her, I went off in some weird tangent, and I was writing about a serial killer, and I was writing all these other things, and then I knew that this is where my mindset really is. It's not just in the bedroom scenes, you know, or sex doesn't always have to be in the bedroom, but you know what I mean.
Right.
So that's when I decided, I said, okay, I need to finish off this, but all of a sudden came out of nowhere, and I needed to find a muse for it. And Richie came, and he's a fitness trainer. He has this fabulous piece of art on the back of him, and that became my cover for Callous Truth.
Yeah, okay.
And, right, and that just, the whole thing fascinated me, and, you know, I like I said, I use my guys, and I use them as muse. I get a little bit of their story, I get a little bit of their history, and sometimes something will kick off, and then sometimes something won't. So I heard a little bit of his story, and I was like, I could do something with that. But I can kind of make a female crazy, you know. I like crazy females, you know. So, and why not have the guy so into the female that he really isn't paying attention to what's going on around him? And that's how Zaniel was created. That's his name.
Okay. See, listening to you talk about serial killers and all that makes me giggle, because that's the kind of stuff I'm into, the dark, you know, twisted thrillers. And you sound like you're right up my alley, girl.
And you know what's interesting is that I'm the type of person that doesn't do the dark, but I have to have it pitch dark when I'm sleeping.
Right.
I, you know, I'm not, don't ask me to go to a horror movie. Don't ask me to go to a haunted house. Don't anything spooky or something's going to jump out at me. No,
I'm the same way.
Right. But then look at Stephen King. Stephen King said all his life he slept with the nightlight on, you know. So,
yeah, right.
There you have it, you know.
Yeah. I have to laugh, too, because I write some.
The greatest writers ever, you know. So that's funny.
Yeah, it is funny to hear somebody loves to write really dark, twisted things, but you know, I'm the same way. I mean, I'll write a story with some of the most horrible villains, you know, and I'm loving it. I'm having a blast. I mean, you know, we're talking, they're doing some terrible things, and I'm just eating it up because I just love that. But I have a book that I started a long time ago that's supposed to be a horror, it's a horror book. But if I don't write it during the day, I'm too damn scared to write it at night. You know?
That's
so I don't know if it's ever going to get done. You know?
Yeah.
I totally understand that part.
Yeah.
So I tell you, I'm okay. So now, basically, you can call yourself a multi-genre author then, correct? Because now you're not only adult fiction, but now you've tossed in the suspense and thriller.
I have psychological thrillers. I have mystery. I have crime, which is Callous Truth is a combination of crime and psychological thriller, as well as mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's Wolf Blood, and that's a paranormal.
Yeah, you want to tell us some about that? Because that one always has sounded very interesting to me when I've seen you share your covers. Tell us about that.
Wolf Blood is like one of my heart books. All my books I love. I love all my characters. I love all my cover models. This particular one, his name is Billy Thomas. He's on the cover. He's related to Jimmy Thomas, which many of the authors know from his covers. rnccovers.com. Hey, Jimmy. So, Billy came. He did a photo shoot with his brother, and I fell in love with it. And I thought, you know, he had to, oh, we'll see what happens with it. And a few females were like, oh, this is going to be good. We can see what's going to happen. But the second I saw him with his shirt off, I said, that is Kay McCoon. That's my wolf shifter. And I created. And as I said, I take my nieces from my models and basically photos. And Billy has a beautiful woman in his life, and her name is Shelly. And I took their story. Basically, 20-odd years ago, it's probably longer now, they were together, and then they split, and then they got back together. And so that's what I did. I took that lovely story. And I created around it, and I put my creative juices with it. And Kane became a wolf shifter. And basically, he has to decide if he's going to go back home. His father is dying, and his brother's begging him to come back. And when he decided to leave, his father told him never come back. And he said he wasn't going to. Because he knew there was more out there besides the Rocky Mountains and what they were as a clan. And he went out and he made, you know, he fell in love with somebody else, but his heart belonged in the mountains. And he decides he's going to go back because his father's dying. And whether he's going to stay or not, he decides that he needs to talk to his first love, which he figured was his soulmate, his mate. And I won't tell the whole story because that's what happens is there's a kind of tug of war between what's right, what's wrong, and that first love. And do you fit in with your first love? And if that soulmate is it such thing as a soulmate? Is it, you know, is it real? And that's what happens in the first book. The second book is coming out next year, and it's basically going to be a fight for the mountain. So it's going to be a couple clans against each other. And
it sounds really interesting.
Love wolves. I love wolves, and I had a good time writing it. And then taking someone and making them into a wolf. So I had to create a backstory. And that was I didn't know that it would be as easy as it was, but it turned out really great.
Great, that's awesome.
I think it's a beautiful cover. It is. I've always thought it was a beautiful cover.
It is. It's a gorgeous cover. So,
but I've always thought that
particular cover is by Fiona.
Is it gorgeous?
Fiona created that cover.
Fiona Jade.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, she's created one cover for me, using Jimmy, of course. So, yeah, she does an excellent job. She really does.
Yeah, she's the top of her game. And my Anthony Stone series, the first cover I created, the second one was Flagingio, was created by Taria Reed. They're both the top of their game, and it's something special I want to do with the clan of the War of the Clans. So that will very likely be a Fiona Jade cover too.
I mean, the cover that she created for me, I didn't even have to send it back and say, you know, or anything. She done it perfect the first time, so. Yeah,
and the thing about did. I'm like I said, I'm sometimes I get in my little anal mood, and I told her three specific things. I didn't want I want to see his face. I want to know he's a man. I don't want his head cut off. And I said I have to have a wolf and I have to have a moon. She sent me this, and I was like, wow. And I said, and I want blood. And so the only thing I think we changed was the color of the blood. Other than that, she nailed it.
Yeah, she did.
It is. It's a beautiful cover. It's absolutely beautiful.
It is a gorgeous cover.
It definitely it makes you stop and look a second time. It really does, and that's important
sure
in our business. You know, if people, if the cover doesn't make a person stop and look, a lot of times they'll just whiz on by, you know, and go on to the next one. So that's a beautiful cover.
Yeah, that's a great sell at the conventions that I've been to. They will pick up because paranormal fantasy is big and erotica is big. They look at that cover and I will practically sell out of that book.
Oh yeah. I can see why. I mean, the cover says, you know, I'm going to be an exciting book. I'm going to pull you in. I mean, that's what that cover does, you know. It's a perfect cover, you know. I'm curious to see what you come up with for book number two. It's going to be a tough act to follow because that one's a good one.
Well, the coolest thing is that I have various different muses for this particular book that's coming out, and so I have so many different choices. So I have to make sure it doesn't overshadow what I'm trying to sell, the story. I think that's very important. I think a lot of authors tend to go overboard on some of their covers, and sometimes it's not necessary. Sometimes simple just is an eye grabber, and I had to learn that. Certainly I learned that. Because one of my things, like I said, I grew up with Harlequin, so a guy and a girl, you know, and that was the story. But sometimes you would read the story and go, that doesn't look like the guy he's describing. And I decided I didn't want to be that author. I did not want a book that, when you look at the cover, that the person wasn't in the book. So I decided if I ever have my covers designed by anyone else besides myself, I would make sure my covers, the person they look at and go, oh my gosh, that's, you know, it's like John on my Cat House series. He is Boss Joe.
Right.
You know?
I absolutely agree. I mean, because I use Jimmy Thomas for all my romance covers. I will continue to use Jimmy Thomas, you know, because I love him. I love his looks. He has so many diverse
Jimmy Thomas
looks.
Is Mr. Romance.
Yeah.
He is to me.
And you can have him in one position and, you know, and then you can see another picture of him in another position, and it's two totally different scenes, you know.
I love when a designer changes him and in his covers. And you're going, it's like, two different things that it's very distinguishes about him, and that's his eyes and his lips. And
his eyes.
Well, for me,
that's the truth.
But anyway, so when they change, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's Jimmy Thomas because of this, this, or the other, you know. But
I see covers of him. That's not even showing his face. It's just showing his lips, and I'm thinking, that's Jimmy Thomas.
But I think I know what you were meaning about the fact that, you know, you want the description of your character to match the man you have on the cover. So if you choose, if you choose Jimmy Thomas to be on your cover, be sure that when you're describing your hero in the book, that he's not blonde hair and blue eyed.
Unless he's
blonde
and
blue eyes on the cover, you know.
I understand that. But I mean, I've seen Jimmy Thomas on a couple of characters. He's, hadn't he? He's got some blonde hair. And he looks, it looks totally different, you know, and so he fits perfect, you know. But that's just my opinion, you know.
I like him. And the ladies love him. They gravitate to him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now we're getting low on show, ladies. We got 10 minutes, so we better start wrapping these questions up. Do you want to tell us about any current works in progress you're doing?
Well, the fun part is that I have a secret project going on with some best-selling authors, and it's five of us in the group, and we're going to come up with something, and we're going to be pushing what we're actually doing in the next few months.
Oh,
either
wonderful.
At the end of the year or at the beginning of the year. So I'm pretty excited about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
my story
saved me and I'm using I don't like using a lot, but I'm trying to catch my chain of thought here. On my Facebook timeline, you will see that my portrait, my timeline picture, of course, is my Save Me book. And that hasn't come out yet, but that's going to hopefully drop before the end of this year. I have to do some editing and things like that to get it back out, but that's going to come out as a paperback. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Also, not in paperback yet, but by this fall, it will be in paperback for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a few things going on. I haven't really written much. I have chronic pain, and because of that, my hands and arms and things, you know, I have issues with that. But the best thing is I can still be creative. I use my voice to text a lot, and I love when the words, they don't come out the way you say them, and
right.
And I have to apologize to people all the time. Like, no, I didn't mean that. You know.
Yeah, that was.
I had to say that to my husband a few years ago for Christmas. He brought me that dragon speak, and I remember when. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It's great. But I remember he was on it one time trying to do it. Well, he's got a little bit of a twang to his voice. And he had that poor thing. He had that poor thing all confused. I sat there laughing so hard when he was trying to read something. It was just coming up gibberish, and I was laughing so hard. And he goes, "That's it. It's a good thing I'm not the writer in the family," and took it off and never put it back on again. I said, "Oh well."
That is the next program for me. That is the next program for me because Angela Knight. She's a big time writer. And many of us know her and love her. I had an opportunity to meet her at RNC, Jimmy Thomas's convention, and she uses that program. And she was explaining how well it is, and all I could think was, great, I don't have to type anymore. So that's something I'm going to be looking into for my upcoming project.
It works well. You just have to teach it your voice. You know, you have to work with it and it learns how you speak. And then over time, because when I first got it, I'd have to go back and fix things all the time. But as it went on, it slowly learns your speech patterns and how you pronounce certain words. And, you know, you just kind of educate it, and then you're off to the races.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very interesting. Yeah,
it's a nice program. I highly recommend it, especially if you start having problems with carpal tunnel. You know, we're typing a lot of hours, and a lot of times we have carpal tunnel and different issues, and it helps a lot.
Yeah, I have some crazy nerve things going on in my back, so it prevents me from doing a lot of things. But I'm optimistic. I mean, I get frustrated just like anybody else. You know, some people call it chronic pain. Some people call it fibromyalgia. You know, it's how you live your daily life. And one day is better than the next. That's all
I
can say.
Since I've known you, we've never met personally, but I can just tell, and we've talked a couple times on the phone, and then we talk a lot, you know, on social media, and I could tell you have a great spirit about you. You have a great outlook, and you're a positive person, and that I think that helps you too a lot. You know,
when your
attitude is right, you know, and so yeah, you're one of the most positive kindest people I've met in social media. So
thank you.
I'm thankful to have met you. So
thank you.
Yeah.
I try. And that
you do
that
try.
Person is who I am. You know,
right.
I don't have to go to any other length to be just myself.
Right.
And it's easy
right.
being me. So
mm-hmm.
I don't have to lie. I don't have, you know what I mean? So I can be Fabia and I can be,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can be the person I live, who lives in this
mm-hmm.
house, and I can be the person that's online. And they're actually
right.
the same person. They just have different names.
Right.
Yep.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
we need to wrap this up for the night. I want to tell everybody that we have all of our social media links on Deadly Reads Radio. Our links are on deadlyreads.com. Go in there to the month of August, and you'll find her there, and you'll find all her social media links. Go on there, hook up with her on Facebook and Twitter and all that. Go to Amazon, check out her books, buy a few. And anyway, I'm sure she'd appreciate
Thank
it. Got
you.
Something rubbing. Is that me?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's that? I hear a rubbing sound. But anyway,
I have no idea. This has been so much fun, and I really appreciate it.
Well,
yeah.
we appreciate it, too. And like I said, everybody, go on there and hook up with her and buy her books and everything. I'm sure she'd appreciate it.
And when you have new things to share with us, you're welcome to come back at any time.
Yep. I'm sure will.
Sure enough. Yeah.
Well, you have a nice evening.
As soon as my new project comes up.
Okay. We'll talk to you on Facebook, Karen.
All right.
Thank you, ladies. It's been a blast.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah, she's a great
Enjoyed
person.
That.
Yeah,
yep,
she's
yep.
a genuine person. I really appreciate that. Really always kind and helpful. So, very
mm-hmm.
good.
Well, now next week we'll be spending the evening with Jamie L. White. So drop by, listen to the show. We'll post about it on Facebook and everything. And, boy, we're almost out of time. Blog Talk's going to shut us off here any
mm-hmm.
second now.
mm-hmm.
So, everybody, thank you for joining us tonight. Lisa and I appreciate it greatly. And we'll see you all next week. Good night.
Bye.